Cybersecurity is a very big thing in South Africa, and as we know, last year there was a succession of high-profile government data breaches, both locally and abroad, and this has put a light on the importance of effective public sector cybersecurity policies and protections. Brian Pinnock is a cybersecurity specialist at Mimecast, who joins you now to tell you a little bit more about how secure your personal information is and whether you should actually be concerned about that. Brian, a very good morning to you. Thank you so much for joining us in conversation.
Good morning, Abigail. How are you?
Absolutely fantastic. Thank you so much for asking. Hoping that you're well on your side. We talk cybersecurity, Brian, and it's something that we know is there as the public, but it's something that we never really think about. How afraid should we be of having our information stolen, used for criminal activities?
I think it's actually something that South Africans and people in general around the world actually don't really think enough about. You know, we had that very high-profile hack of information, South African information, with regard to sort of property deeds register information, I think it was last year sometime. And, you know, these things sort of hit the headlines and then they disappear, and you don't realize that information, once it's out there in the wild, is permanently out there. It kind of sits in places on the dark web and gets reused for all kinds of nefarious purposes. So it is a concern. It's one of those things that, you know, I think most people quite rightly go, well, there's not a lot I can actually do about that now that it's out there. But what you can do is just make sure that your own information and things like your sort of banking systems, your any kind of financial services systems that you've got is actually well protected.
And talking about that, I mean, we've heard of information being stolen. We had the likes of Facebook being hauled into questioning session to answer how they could have lost our data. But how common is it that our data is being stolen?
To be honest, it's actually an everyday occurrence somewhere in the world. If you start looking for these things, you're actually amazed. If you just look, you just go through the succession of headlines, this is all publicly available information. There was that very high-profile hack that I mentioned recently, and all you've got to do is go back in almost sort of cycles of every 3 to 6 months things happen. So, you know, I often give presentations, people that go, oh, come on, you know, this is something that happens in the USA, it happens in kind of Eastern Europe, but it's not really a South African problem. And it very much is. I mean, I'll give you a sort of quick list of examples of high-profile organizations you might not even be aware of. So Arms Corps, this is going back a little while, about 2 years or so, Arms Corps actually had some of their supplier information hacked, which is actually quite critical. The South African police managed to quite embarrassingly lose some information around the witness protection database. City of Johannesburg had some insider threats, sort of messing up their billing system. I don't know if you remember the Postbank hack. I could go on and on. There's very high-profile websites that were hacked as well. People like, back in the day, the New Age, ANN7, the SABC, and even the Department of Basic Education had their website defaced a while back. I think probably if you want to take the conversation back to public sector, a while back there was a campaign by a hacktivist organization called Anonymous called hashtag OpAfrica. And what they did is they actually targeted South African government employees through the job portal, and they published all of their information, things like name, surname, their email, their ID number. And all of that information is now available for people to actually take over your do something even as simple as impersonate you and take out a loan in your name. So it is a problem, and it's problematic. And the sort of public sector, you know, whether it's sort of government-level public sector or city-level public sector, is vulnerable.
And talking to this, we know what the problems are, Brian, and we know what is happening daily. So then, what measures should companies and individuals put in place to prevent this as we tie up the interview?
So there are a number of things you can do. It sort of seems like an insurmountable problem, but if you kind of take a step back, you actually realize that about 9 out of 10, if you look at all of these types of hacks, about 9 out of 10 of these hacks actually start with data breaches, whatever you want to call them, actually start with email. Email sounds like sort of the most sort of boring and simple system, and why on earth would email be your kind of biggest vulnerability? But email is one of the easiest ways. In fact, if you had to design a system to, you know, from scratch, to actually get into an organization that was on just about everybody's desk, that everybody used, email would be, you know, your sort of hacking system would look a little bit like email. So sort of malicious actors use email as a way, and there's sort of multiple ways they do that. So 9 out of 10 of these sort of data breaches and hacks actually start with email. Typically, they use 3 types of techniques. One is to send you a malicious link. So that would be a link, you know, what we call a URL in the sort of IT space. And that really is a website that you go to. And what they do is they weaponize that website in some way. So it downloads a piece of malware onto your machine. The other way to do that is to send you the malware directly and pretend that it's something else, like an invoice or something that you would open. And once you've opened it, it's on your machine. And, you know, from there, the hackers can proceed with their hack. And the last way sometimes is not to send you either. It's actually just to impersonate someone in your organization, like your CEO or your CFO. And you'd be amazed. It sounds like such a simple thing, and you can't believe that people will fall for it. But in companies across the globe, continuously, there's sort of a litany of evidence of where hackers have impersonated a CEO and asked for money to be transferred for a large deal that's got to be done in secret. And kind of mid to low-level employees obviously don't want to upset the boss. And what they do is they do these money transfers. And you can think, particularly in political organizations, if you just think of the waterproof landings where everybody was sort of banding number one's name about without actually mentioning his name, it would be very easy in government organizations to actually implement that kind of a hack.
All right. Brian, listen, unfortunately, we have run out of time, but it's a conversation that I'm sure we're going to have quite a lot more during the course of the year, because cybersecurity is a very important thing. Brian, thank you so much for joining us on the show. We'll chat again soon.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. That is Brian Pinnock, Cybersecurity Specialist at Mimecast.